Hi guys, and welcome to a brand new episode of Anime Podcasters. Today we are joined with a very, very special guest. We have GoPro Kyo. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going all right. Just chilling. Being called a special guest as usual.
I know, right? I used to call you as my co-host.
But yeah. Now you have Yuki, or you have Austin over there.
Oh yeah, Austin might make an appearance if he's currently playing some Overwatch. If you hear someone yelling, it's because Austin's losing at Overwatch right now.
Yeah,
that's
much.
What's happening, guys. Just so you know. All right, so we have
he's glaring over at me like, really, dude?
great, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I share a room, so it's just like we both have to keep our headphones on.
Deal with the consequences.
Yeah. That's what modern age living has given us.
Right? So, today,
yeah, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Today on Anime Podcasters, we are going to be talking about Shinigami, Gods of Death. Yes, why talk about Gods of Death? Why did we do this, Church? Why is this a thing?
Well, it seems that it's a common theme in anime. Like, no matter what the anime is about, it seems that they like to sneak in a little bit of their culture in it. Like, this is to basically sum it up, a Shinigami is essentially a Japanese version of the Grim Reaper, and it can be constituted as a god or a spirit that invites humans towards death or feeds off of death. Like in the case of Death Note, Ryuk feeds off of people's lives. Whenever he writes somebody's name down the Death Note, he gets the years that they would have had, or like all the years that they've lived. I forget how it goes. I'm sure you could tell me exactly how it works, but
right. Only 2 minutes into the podcast and we're already talking about Death Note. Oh, how unexpected.
Well, it wasn't even from you, so that's okay.
Why? Because if it was from me, wouldn't it be okay? Why is that a thing?
Because you're such a Death Note.
Choose your words very wisely, Kyo.
You are okay. Fine, I'll say it. You're a weeb.
I am. I really am. Way to classify me.
just in the case of Death Note, Gianna is a weeaboo.
Oh, definitely. So Kyo,
Austin's nodding over in the back. Yeah. Big ass smile on his.
There was like a break in the special, and I heard Jane's a weeaboo.
Right. So Kyo, please define to us what a Shinigami can be classified as. I know you got a little bit into it, but like, just get into it for me.
Okay, from what I read here, it says gods are supernatural, Shinigami can be either gods or supernatural spirits that invite humans toward death, and can be presented or interpreted to be present in certain aspects of Japanese religion and culture. They have been described as monsters and helpers, creatures of darkness, or fallen angels.
Fallen angels, kind of like Austin. No, I'm kidding. All right, so
he's nothing close.
Oh man, so a couple of shows that came to mind. We're kind of go through all of them. So yes. Definitely, Death Note has a lot.
Death
of
Note
Shinigami
is obvious.
It.
Death Note is obviously the first one everybody thinks of. Like if you say Shinigami, first thing people say is Death Note. Like they raise their hand and just be like, I know what Shinigami is.
Right. Okay. So
they'll probably read it off the Wikipedia or the Death Note Wiki. Gianna.
So let's get that one out of the way.
Yeah, please.
So obviously the first Shinigami that we come across in the series is Ryuk, and he's very bored and he decides to drop the Death Note, and we know how that goes. But what did you think about the whole existence of Shinigami and how they came to they're able to explore the human world, go back to the Shinigami realm? What are your thoughts on Shinigami's in Death Note?
Well, I like that they're not just, this is just design-wise. Like, I think that they're all really unique. Like, all the Shinigami, not just Ryuk, but, like, everybody is uniquely designed. Like, they're not just, it's not just, like, the skeleton and the cloak. It's, like you see, like, dried skin, or, like, you see fur, like, sewn onto their bodies, and, like you see different kinds of skulls. Like, you see cow skulls, different kinds of animal skulls, or even just just, like, human skulls. They're really diverse in their design and their Like, all of them clearly have a personality, and it's almost like they're a whole species. And I think it's really, really cool, like, just the way that Death Note presents Shinigami. And I honestly think that this is probably the best interpretation of Shinigami.
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely the most creative. I mean, I mean, I'm probably just saying that because, like, it's got the most diversity amongst it, and, like, the other Gods of Death that we're going to go over today are probably, like, just defined by one person, because people usually think, like, oh, Grim Reaper, so then they go straight towards, like, okay, then maybe the Grim Reaper is represented as one person.
Right. What I really, really enjoyed about Ryuk, and we're going to get into the other Gods of Death, obviously, in Death Note, but Ryuk is a really cool character, and the way he kind of decides to maybe sometimes help Light or be neutral. Honestly, the guy's, like, really bored and just wants entertainment, and obviously, like, it's described very early on in Death Note that the Shinigami realm is, like, super boring. Like, all they do is gamble or just... Nothing. It's a very like boring place, and obviously they want to escape. And obviously, like, when you think about, like, Gods of Death, it's like, oh, that's so cool. A God of Death is, like, a very, like, interesting concept and everything. But, like, the way Death Note interprets it is that they're very bored. Like, there's nothing to do when you're a God of Death.
The concept of Ryuk, like, he just seems like a very he's, like, very chaotic neutral. Like, he's true neutral.
Definitely.
I like that he's not aligned with either side. Like, it seems that he sort of double crosses the Shinigami realm, I guess. I mean, or actually no, he does. I don't think he doesn't. He does. He just he just does whatever seems most interesting to him. Like, it seems like the whole thing is put into motion by Ryuk. Because the more you think about it, if he hadn't dropped the Death Note or if he didn't get involved, it would be a much different series. Like, if he was just spectating, he wouldn't have been as interesting or as he wouldn't have been as praised as he is, because he's got a very fun personality, but he's also obviously a villain, but everybody seems to like him as much as Light has a big following, definitely.
Right. Another interesting thing when I think about Shinigamis, there's obviously, like, it's obviously a world, and each world has a leader. And in Death Note, there is a king of the Shinigami, and we don't see anything about him. He's very, like, lightly referred in the anime of Death Note. Like, I think Ryoka, like, says, oh, he's an old fart or anything. Or, like, he's just a boring, like, doesn't have anything to do character. But also, like, the things I've noticed about the Shinigami King is, obviously, he's not a good ruler at all, because Ryu will literally write fake rules in the Death Note. Obviously, like, he's like, not afraid of, like, any consequences suffered by the King of Shinigamis. He's like, oh, whatever, I'll just write it in. The old fart will never notice. And, like, literally in the anime, I remember there was one Shinigami, I think it was Midora is the name of the Shinigami, traded 13 apples for a freaking Death Note. It's like, here, I went to, like, Shoppers Drug Mart. Can you buy apples at Shoppers Drug Mart? Anyways, I went to the store and got apples. Here's 13 of them. Can I have a Death Note? And, like, that's how it worked. Yeah. I think that, like, as a leader, the Shinigami, like, maybe a reason why the Shinigami realm is failing is because the Shinigami King is just not caring at all.
Yeah. I mean, really, really, what can you do when there's, like, when you just live in a wasteland? And, like, you can't die, and you're just sitting there like, eh, what do I do now?
Literally. I want to maybe touch on, what did you think about Rem as a god of death?
I thought Rem was a very different kind, or, like, her personality was definitely, like, she's a definite opposite to Ryuk. Because she actually grows an attachment to
Misa.
Yeah, Misa. I was gonna say Mikasa for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, she actually gets attached to her human and the owner of her Death Note, and she actually gives up her life to save Misa. And then, like, as opposed to Ryuk just is like he's literally just using everybody. He's letting Light think that he's using him.
Oh, definitely. Another thing I want to like quickly add on Rem is I think it's really interesting that Shinigamis, like, obviously, like, they're entities, they're beings, and like they're really like well created in the sense that they all have different personality traits, and they all have basically, I guess, they all draw the line within the Death Note universe somewhere differently. Like Ryuk doesn't care at all, and Rem obviously like has attachment, and like the line wherever that line is drawn is gonna like depict what action you're gonna take. Obviously, with Ryuk not caring like about Light, it's very obvious that he at the end he writes his name and Light Yagami's name in the Death Note, and Rem will literally write L's name to commit suicide in a sense to save Misa. Like it's really cool that other than just being gods of death, they have emotions like humans. And so I think gods of death and humans are very similar.
Really, who's the monster here sort of idea? Really, no, it really leaves you like thinking like, are they really so different? I mean, aside from the obvious differences, like, oh, one's like god of death, but at the same time, it's just like the lengths that a human or a Shinigami would go to are not too crazy to think about. They're not too far off from each other.
No, definitely. Also, last thing on Death Note before we jet off, because I think I don't want to spend the entire podcast talking about it. Yeah. There's this theory floating around on the internet. I've seen so many anime channels cover it, like to the point where I'm like, this topic again. Anyways, how Light gets reincarnated into a Shinigami at the beginning of the Death Note Relay Visions of the God. There's like this Shinigami that comes up to Ryuk and asks for like the story and offers him an apple, and people are like saying, well, the Shinigami knew that Ryuk loves apples, and he has the same hair color as Light, he was wearing like something that's very similar to his school uniform, blah blah blah, like all these things, like making a thing that like this Shinigami was Light. What did you think of that? Do you think it's possible for a human to be reincarnated into a Shinigami? What do you think of that?
Honestly, I'm not too well educated on the concepts of reincarnation. I just get the basic of it. Like, it's just the concept of when you pass away, your spirit goes into another body. You don't remember anything from your previous life and so on. But from my understanding, I think the way it goes is based on how you live your life. You either go up or down in the scales of like what the lowest life form would be or the highest life form, that sort of thing. So, right. I honestly don't know how to feel about it. It seems like a plausible idea, but at the same time, didn't you say that another Shinigami, like, traded 13 apples for a Death Note?
Yeah.
So, like, if that's a common one of the arguing points is, like, they know that he likes apples. I'm like, well, don't all Shinigami like apples? Because their apples are kind of shit.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something to think about, but at the same time, I mean, like, I'm not going to discredit the theory entirely. It's entirely possible.
Oh, man, there's so many, like, similarities. Like this article saying, like, he sports a red tie around his head similar to the tie around Light's school uniform, or the Shinigami's mouth is shaped like Kira's smile. Like, oh, my God. Like, people will just nitpick at the
They'll look for the smallest detail that they can, but I mean, good on them for looking for like having a good eye and looking for stuff to prove your theory. I mean, at least you learned something from school doing those essays and arguments. So,
yeah, education. But
at the same time, it's like sometimes you're grasping at straws there.
All right. Do you want to get into the Shinigami from Soul Eater?
Anyway, this is a very different interpretation of a Shinigami. This guy is very fun-loving. He's very energetic. He's silly. But at the same time, he does have a darker side. So when you get to a point in the series where he has to, like, when shit has to go down, he is total badass. Like, he holds nothing back. He really, like, lets it all out. He has an actual scythe. He fights back with it. His voice deepens. He becomes actually very threatening. So it's a very, so the concept is, like, if you, like, in my opinion, the concept is that if you have a character who is very fun-loving, and then you, like, completely do a 180 with their character, it's a very big shock, and they actually do become threatening, and in this case, it definitely works. I really like the idea that he's a very different interpretation, and he's a fun character, and he's likable, and he's not just, he's not the, I want to bring you to the afterlife, that sort of character. It's a lot different from some of the other interpretations of death that we've seen in media.
Definitely. I'm looking up right now on the wiki for death. But apparently death has a family, meaning is death the kid of Shinigami as well, or is part Shinigami?
He is a Shinigami. He's a Grim Reaper in training, basically. So he's the son of the Grim Reaper. And in the manga, they go into that very deeply, and I'm not going to spoil anything for people who don't know. Because,
well, maybe spoil it for people, like, okay, skip 2 minutes ahead if you don't want to get spoiled about the background of Death the Kid, okay. Guys, like that,
so,
because some people want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, so in the manga, they go into detail about where Death the Kid comes from, and he's technically the spawn of, I can't remember exactly, but, like, in essence, he's the spawn, or he's a clone, as it were, of the Kishin Ajura. So they're basically brothers. It's an interesting concept to see Death the Kid go from the as a good character being a likable character, as well as being a little crazy, but at the same time he's still likable, and then go to a dark place where he embraces complete evil and insanity, and honestly, the Soul Eater manga is a lot more interesting than the anime. The anime is really good, but it's just not as, the anime was still being worked on as the comics are still being worked on. I think they're still being worked on right now. I don't know if there's an ending to it, necessarily.
Okay, interesting. I think, I've seen a few episodes of Soul Eater, and I'm currently watching it right now. Definitely Death is a very upbeat and happy-go-lucky guy. I haven't gone deep enough to see maybe another side of him, but as a death god, and as the... Isn't he, the principal of the school, or isn't he, in charge
of
the school?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Doesn't he have more of a serious side to him, or is there elements from different Shinigamis from other animes that, you see from him, or is he completely away from
the crowd? Like, he really stands out as a character. Like, Soul Eater itself is a very big standout from the rest of, shonen anime and just anime in general.
Right.
Like, it's very focused on how teenagers actually are. They're not very, the way that they portray the kids is, how real kids really are. Like, they actually feel like real people. You can actually see yourself in those children. Like, you could see, I definitely felt... I was definitely like that when I was a kid, or I definitely relate to this when I was a child, or whatever. Like, you just see yourself... I feel like that's what a good good anime is supposed to do. Like, if it's about children, or if it's about teenagers, because a lot of anime, as we discussed in our... anime tropes video, that a lot of anime takes place in high school and stuff, because that's where everybody had to go to high school. So that's a common that everybody has, everybody's dealt with it, so they all know exactly what it's like. So it's something that everybody can relate to.
Definitely. And, okay, I think we've covered Death.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we've covered him for the most part. He's definitely a character that I would... I love to watch him as a character. Like, he's not only silly, but there are points in the show where he talks seriously, but it's followed up by him being a complete idiot. Like, he just says something totally stupid. He does a nice motivational speech about what it means to be a... what it means to take lives, and what it means to just to do the stuff that he does. And then next thing you know, he says, "Everybody, there's a demon living under our school."
God,
complete silence after that. It is just, it's great. He's honestly one of the best anime characters out there, in my opinion. Yeah. Anyway, let's go on. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, let's talk about this conversation is going to be about another Shinigami, but that does, I think, two appearances in the entire anime. I don't even think the first appearance. I know it's like it happened, but I don't even know if it was like filmed or it was just like a fact that it happened. Anyways, I'm gonna be talking about for the next Shinigami, Dead Demon Consuming Seal, which is the jutsu that the third Hokage used on Orochimaru during the Chunin finals and everything. I think that this jutsu was really cool, and it's literally, I think, the most powerful suicide technique in all of Naruto. And there aren't many suicide techniques in Naruto. You literally summon the a Shinigami, and the Shinigami is there, and from there he pulls out the user's soul, and from there, like, the whoever casts the Shinigami jutsu has to try to finish off the job and then, like, have the person's soul killed, and obviously that would result in the person's death. I think it's a really cool jutsu. I also know it was the jutsu that was used by Minato to seal Naruto, the Nine Tails inside of Naruto. So any thoughts on Shinigamis and Naruto? Obviously, it's not a very major... Well, I guess it's a major part of the series, but it's not, you know, too prominent other than those two times.
Yeah, it's not like a major point in the series. It is, I mean, what am I saying? The death of the Hokage is a major point in the series, but at the same time, like, the Shinigami that he summons is not really seen again that often. I mean, like, other than the two times that you mentioned, those are the... only ones that I can think of right off the bat where you do see that Shinigami, and it is like you really don't know too much about the lore, like the lore of the gods and the monsters and such of Naruto. You just know, like, oh, they can control the energy in their bodies, and there are just creatures that are kind of just here, and you really don't know too much about, like, the Nine Tails, or at least I don't, because I didn't follow the show past the past the Great War.
Right. Well, I am reading right here that there was another instance where this jutsu came back. It was during the fourth Shinobi War climax. Apparently, Orochimaru, Sasuke, Suigetsu, and Jugo went to the Uzumaki clan's storage temple, and from there, Orochimaru cast the jutsu again to, like, free some souls or something, or, like, he was there to, like, reflect his own body is what the article is saying. I don't even know what that means.
Right.
Anyways, I think one thing that's really important to note about this particular god of death, obviously, how can I put this? Would you say Orochimaru is a courageous character? Like, Orochimaru is like, doesn't get scared. Like, it really takes a lot, right?
For when it's used on him against the Hokage, or when the Hokage uses it against him? Or
no, in general, like, to instill fear into Orochimaru. Orochimaru is one of the legendary Sanin, obviously a very prominent villain.
Yeah.
He thinks, like, he's a very courageous and upfront character that's really, like, hard to, like, put the fear in or anything.
It's hard to scare a character whose theme is centered around snakes and just like control and like immortality. Like, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It seems like a hard concept to try and, like, scare this guy. He's like, honestly, you could take this guy to a horror movie and I think he'd be totally chill.
Honestly,
I think Orochimaru would just be sitting in the back of the theater just being like, eh, seen it, been there, done that. Oh, whatever.
Well, with that being said, when that jutsu is used on Orochimaru, I think he literally, like, craps himself. Like, obviously, it's the most scariest thing ever for him. And you really see the fear of gods of death into him. Like, it's just, he is so freaked out by the entire experiment. So you know that this Shinigami is literally no joke when it comes to Naruto and gods of death. I think that the Shinigami using this jutsu, and this jutsu in general, is one of the most powerful jutsus in all of Naruto. It's Hokage level jutsu,
and for the third Hokage to actually scare him, like, for the most part, it seemed like, as I recall, he was frightened of the Shinigami when it was first presented in the Hokage fight.
Right. Yeah. I believe that is the case.
It's definitely something not to be messed with. So if he's scared of it, then there's probably a good reason for you or anybody else to be frightened of it.
Definitely. All right. Let's talk about the Shinigami from Black Butler.
Okay. Very similar to the god or the Shinigami from from Soul Eater, because I think they might have the same voice actor. I'm probably, I could be wrong, like, at least in the,
Really?
Yeah, I think in the English dub they have the same voice actor. I'm more than likely wrong, but it's always possible because their voices are very similar. They're...
Okay.
But, differentiates this Shinigami is that he's, like, he's not the only Grim Reaper. There are other Grim Reapers in the series of, Black Butler. Like, there is, oh, dear God, there's... Crap, I can't remember his or her name. It's the, have you seen that red-haired character that has the chainsaw and the glasses?
I have not watched Black Butler okay. yet, so I can't, no.
Well, just for your sake, I won't spoil too much, but anyway, there's a character.
Oh, I don't care. No, go ahead. It's okay. No, really, really.
Honestly, I can't spoil it because I don't remember the name.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the character from Black Butler that I was specifically thinking of was called the Undertaker, and he is quite literally playing the role of an Undertaker in, like, 16th century London. I can't remember the exact year, but, anyway, he's disguised as an Undertaker, and when they find out that he's actually a Shinigami, he's actually the head Shinigami, so he is God of Death, basically.
Okay, wow.
But anyway, what differentiates him from Lord Death is that he is just as silly as, he is as silly as Death, but he is... But all the way through, he has a complete undertone of being very sadistic and freaky, and he, like, there's an episode where they're going into try and stop Jack the Ripper, as it were, and he's slowly and seemingly enjoying describing how Jack the Ripper would make incisions along the lower pelvic region of the females the female victims that he would kill.
Right.
And
okay.
So that's
okay.
A very,
wow, very
yeah. So he's a very different kind of. He does stand out from the crowd, but I don't think he's as unique as Lord Death. Like the concept of Lord Death enjoying what he does is not an uncommon concept, but the fact that he's super, super happy. He's very upbeat in the Soul Eater universe, but in here he is kind of upbeat, but he's more focused on being a little bit, like, just odd. Like, he's very
quirky.
Yes, quirky. That's the word. That's a good word. Thank you.
There
yes,
we go.
Exactly.
You're welcome, Kiel.
I have a billion thoughts going like a mile a minute, and then at the same time, I just, like, I don't know the words that I want to use.
Welcome to my life. Okay. Since I haven't seen Black Butler, I can't really add too much to that character.
I would say it's something. I'll just go ahead and give you a recommendation for it. I would say that it's something that you might enjoy. It is a little different. It's kind of hard to fit the bill on this one. Like, it's like you can't really describe what genre it is. It's mostly like you could just say, oh, it's a supernatural anime, but at the same time, it's got it's got a character that's very different. The characters are not they're not cut and paste. They're all very unique, and they're very interesting to learn, like, what their philosophies are and, like, how they interact or how they think.
Yeah. Right. Very interesting. Very
so
interesting.
I would definitely give it a recommendation. Butler, You'll have to add that to your anime list, because I think a lot of ladies would be interested in hearing what you had to say about it.
Specifically ladies? Specifically
well,
the ladies?
Well, I'm sure there are guys out there that enjoy it too, but it's more, like, it seems like there are a lot of female otakus who really enjoy this show. I mean, I enjoyed it too. It's just, like, there are some fan service things that I really don't care for, but they're very few and far between in the first season.
Okay, I see what you mean. Interesting. Do you think, a question like that, do you think there's any gods of death in Tokyo Ghoul? Do ghouls and gods of death have any sort of similarity? Just a one-off here.
I don't know if they would necessarily fit that concept. They're more of if you want to look into it culturally, you could say that maybe the idea of these characters being sort of gods of death would sort of make sense, but at the same time, it seems like you're kind of making a chicken out of a feather here. So,
Yeah. No, I think I would agree. I think the only similarity they have is that, you know, ghouls and dev coexist with humans.
Yes, but the difference is that, like, ghouls are supposed to, like, from what I understand, ghouls feed on humans to live.
Yeah, they do.
So, like,
they can only have coffee.
So they don't, like, oh, hey, okay, this guy's dying, I might as well go eat him, or, like, that person's about to get hit by a bus and they're not going to die, so I got to kill him.
Right,
I think that it doesn't necessarily work the same way. I would have to say that it's, like I said, it's kind of grasping at straws, but it's an interesting concept.
It is, definitely is. Next time on Anime Podcasters, cool! We're just going to start talking about, like, different races. Next time after that, Namekians!
Namekians. That's like one, that's one that, whole show, dude.
And next time after that,
we'll go four or five you can think of off the top of your head.
We'll go even smaller than that. I could probably think more than five, but I wasn't right now because we're not talking about that.
Anyway.
Next time, we'll go even an even smaller sample size. We'll talk about yard rats. All right. So, in all seriousness, let's bounce to the last Shinigami I want to talk about. And so, Kyo and I agreed in the pre-show that a Grim Reaper would be very similar. We also agreed that it is like a God of Death during the podcast. So, the next God of Death I want to talk about, Grim Reaper, whatever you want to call it, is Botan from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
You look at Botan, and Botan does not look like a God of Death. Botan
she looks very like, moe upon first inspection.
she's super upbeat and outgoing. Basically, Botan's job in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Right here. Right here on the wiki, it just says Grim Reaper occupation. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she definitely counts.
Is that, yeah, no, okay, she counts. What she does, basically, is that she, carries or brings the dead souls from the human world to the spirit world. And I just think, like, when you think of a Grim Reaper, you think of, like, skulls and, like, a cloak and darkness.
You think this of, like, dark clothes, like, pink. Like, you could think of, like, red, like, dark red or just black, total black, or and hoods and such, or tattered clothing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and, like, later on in the series, she, like, works a blue skirt. She's, like, all dolled up most of the time. And so, she shows up in her room and, like, to bring, like, Yusuke to, like, the spirit world and everything. But I really liked this God of Death. And, obviously, Yu Yu Hakusho being one of my favorite animes ever, I'm kind of biased when I say this. But I really enjoy the concept that Yu Yu Hakusho has here, where a God of Death looks like it just like a regular, everyday person. And, like, I think that was really cool. And she's really, like, I think, like, you said, like, Lord Death was a standout Shinigami. I think she stands out even more in the sense that, like, she does not fit the bill at all here. And she does her job very, very well. I mean, there's, like, a Yu Yu Hakusho movie where she literally delivers a message from the Koenma to the human world Yusuke. And it's a great, she does a great job. And I think as a God of Death, she's very, very interesting. I know you've watched a little bit of Yu Yu Hakusho. Any thoughts on Botan?
I definitely agree with you that Botan is a much more standout type of character. Like, she, I mean, much like Lord Death, they're very upbeat, they're very happy characters. That seems to be a concept that a lot of anime like to do. They like to make their gods of death more enjoyable. They like to make them less grim and dark and evil. They like to make them a lot more upbeat and exciting, and like characters that you actually want to be around. But like you said, I think she stands out a lot more as opposed to Lord Death, because, like you said, she doesn't fit the bill. Like, if you showed a picture of those two standing side by side, you would just be like, okay, the one on the left is Lord Death, and he's a Shinigami. He's obviously a Grim Reaper. But if you look at her, you're just like, that's just an anime schoolgirl. Because, like, yes, because you look at Lord Death, and that's exactly what you think a Japanese version of a Grim Reaper would look like, but you look at the other girl, like, that's just a that's just an anime girl.
No, definitely. And like past just like what she looks like, her quirks, like she's very clumsy, she's super optimistic, she wants to help out everyone as much as possible, like super caring person. Like these are not qualities you're gonna usually find in a Shinigami. Like obviously, yeah, okay, you can argue Rem's caring and helpful to Misa, but I don't see, like, you know, like the first thing that Rem tells Light, if Light wants and says like, "I'm gonna kill you," Misa is like, "Oh, Rem, I'll write your own name and your name in my death note, and I'll die." Like, obviously, like, completely different from Botan. But I really liked her in Yu Yu Hakusho. She really added a nice humorous touch to the show, and she's just a great character. One of my favorite characters ever.
Yeah,
definitely.
I like you just said. Like you just said, like she is, like you could argue that Rem is a very different Shinigami, but at the same time, like I said earlier, they're all, like all the Shinigami and Death Note, they are most definitely they're still following the theme of death. They're still following the theme of like the core concept that you're trying to think of when you're designing these characters is like, okay, they're evil looking, they are like gross, they're rotting, like they're just pieces, like they're basically like pieces of garbage, stuff that you would throw out, and like you just combine all that stuff and then you get characters like Ryuk, and then you get Rem, and then you get the Shinigami King, that sort of thing. Like she's a very different interpretation of a Shinigami, and with that, I hope you don't mind, unless you had something else to add to that.
No, go ahead.
Okay, the last one, unless you have another one after this, but in any case...
I don't.
Okay, so I guess the last one that we have to talk about is Bleach.
Yes!
So, this one is entirely centered around the concept of death. I mean, most of these Shinigami aren't actually taking people's souls, from what I can recall. So, like, they're not necessarily doing their jobs, from what I remember. Because, like, the concept, like, at least Botan carries dead souls to the next world. But these guys aren't like, we're fighting demons. We don't have time to take people to heaven or hell or whatever. Oh, wait, no, that's right. If they kill, like, the hollows or whatever, then the spirit trapped inside it gets to go to heaven or whatever.
Or the afterlife.
Yeah, afterlife. So, Bleach has a very wide variety of characters. Like, you could argue that this is probably the most diverse group of, gods of death that you could ever have in any anime. So, like, you got, like...
Oh, definitely arguable. Definitely.
Yeah,
arguable.
You have old, wise, you have young, sexy, you have smart and sophisticated, or just plain out, like, I'm looking at a picture here and I see a character with a dog's head. I have no idea what I'm looking at right now.
Oh God. Thumbnail.
Anybody who watches Bleach like more than I do could probably just drop a comment in the bottom and just say, "Oh, that's who so and so."
Yeah, that's so and so from so and so.
I have no clue.
All right. I think that once again, Bleach non-anime I've dabbled into much. Honestly, saw like a two or three episodes of Bleach. But I think like a thing I've seen online is that these Shinigami in Bleach are definitely the most spiritual. Is there an argument to be made there? Like spiritually speaking, from what I've understood, you say they don't take souls, but like, are they more spiritual than different Shinigamis in other animes? Like spiritually wise, what do you think of that?
Honestly, they're probably a bit. They're a little more unique, and like the concept is like when you go to the next life, you have complete. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Like if you have to say like you didn't get that right, that's fine. You can tell me because I don't watch Bleach as much as I used to, and I never really got that far into it because
it's went not on for... anime experts. It's anime podcasters, Keel. The bar is so low. So low. You have nothing to worry about. For God's sake, I'm hosting the show. Like, come on.
Anyway, my understanding is that once you've passed on, you have the option of just, you can become a Shinigami or you can just go to rest. That's as far as I can remember. I don't think that's true, but oh well.
And obviously, all of these Shinigamis all have different abilities, is what I'm saying. Like, they have longevity enhanced durability, Ryoku, or Zanpakuto, a Shinigami weapon. Its shape is typically to a Japanese katana. Okay, so they're even armed, okay? These Shinigamis have weapons.
I do think that you're right that Bleach does have more spiritual has a more spiritual aspect to it. The like when they release a soul, it's actually kind of a beautiful thing to see. Like you see these poor helpless peoples, and then like the Shinigami, like what's his name? Oh my gosh, Ichigo, sorry, and Rukia are just like letting these souls free, and it's actually kind of a relief to see these people finally go to rest, and it is a very spiritual feeling that I think that I get out of it.
Very interesting. One last thing I want to touch upon for these, I'm reading here Exiled Shinigami. Apparently, Yoroichi, Tesai, and Kisuke are exiled Shinigamis, but they still help the Shinigami group at times. What's that about? Do you know?
I honestly don't know. I only got so far into the end of the show. Honestly.
Oh, okay, no worries.
Ended on episode 12 or something, because it got a little convoluted as it went on for me, so I was just like, okay, this is gonna go on forever, and it's just recently ending, and this was like a year ago when I got that far, so it was
okay,
just
gotcha.
I am not going too far into it, but for those of you who like it and are still with it, more power to you. I'm sorry that the show ended, but okay, actually, no, I'm not sorry. It ended. Everything has to end at some point.
Oh, you're going to trigger so many.
I mean, like, honestly, in my opinion, like, Naruto should have ended a long time ago, and I don't think that the Next Generation series is really warranting of existence.
Really?
I really don't care for it. We can probably go into that. Like, we could actually go into, here's a podcast idea. We could always do an episode about, shows that go on too long, or shows that were never finished that didn't fit. They're like, we're not on long enough. That sort of thing. I think that sounds like a fun idea.
Hi guys. Welcome to One Piece.
That's never going to end. I swear to God.
I know, right? Okay. We do have one question from the audience. I this was a super impromptu show. So just before going on, I tweeted out that I need some Shinigami questions. And we got a question from @alpha63287596. I'm not fitting to answer this question. GoPro, this is going straight to you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Why is @GiantMusic not a god of death? Why am I not a god of death, Kyo?
Because your Death Note obviously is broken. Duh.
Death Note is broken, therefore GiantMusic is not god of death. I hope that really, that in-depth analysis really answered the question for you.
I usually go in depth, but I got nothing else to say except you need to go. You need to call, you need to call Shinigami tech support.
No, you need to subscribe. What is this tech support? Okay, I'm kidding. All right, so thank you so much for listening to this episode of Shinigami's on Anime Podcasters. I really hope you enjoyed. GoPro will be on next time. I'm sure we'll have him at some other time. It's really fun to podcast with you, buddy.
Thank you. It's really fun to do these.
Yeah. All right, so where can people find you online?
You guys can find me online on Twitter at GoProKill, or you can find me on you guys can find me on DeviantArt under Church Christensen, or you can find my YouTube channel, or you can go to Daydreamer Studios, which all links will be in the description, of course.
Of course, yeah, no, they're definitely going to be in the description. And if you don't feel like going to the description, go on my channel. They're all in my channel box. Subscribe to GoPro Kyo.
I'm a homie.
He's a homie. Yeah, he's my homie. Homie section. I was thinking of renaming that section friendship. We'll figure
that
it
is
out.
That is total friendship.
Total friendship. All right. Yes. And for myself, you can follow me on Twitter @GiantMusic. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GiantMusic. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Peace out, guys. Bye.
Later.